Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We will be finishing up this last chapter, or this particular chapter, chapter 12, in the book of Hebrews today. We will be looking at verses 25 through 29. Why don't I read that for you this morning, and then we will turn to the Lord in prayer. It says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven.' This expression, 'yet once more,' denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, this is a powerful word that we are about to receive this morning. Lord, may our hearts be open to it. I pray that you would speak to us about our lives. May we be impacted, Lord, through this message. We thank you for who you are. Father, you are a great God. We praise your name this morning. We ask for your blessing over the exposition of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. I was reading Charles Swindoll, his book, Grace Awakening. I came across this statement, and he says this: "Grace never means we're free to live any way we wish, whatever the consequences. Grace does not mean God will smile on me regardless. It means I'm free to choose righteousness or disobedience." The very fact that you and I have the privilege to live for righteousness rather than to live for sin this morning is the result of the grace of God. I once had somebody approach me and they said, "Wes, what's really the point of studying the Word? I have trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's all I need." This attitude really goes on to say, "I have got a place in heaven, but the grace of God was treated just as that, a ticket into heaven, and that's it. But the blessing that we have today is that we can live for God because of His grace through Jesus Christ." Today what we are going to do is we are going to look at the final warning passage that is here in chapter 12 of Hebrews. And before we look to this passage, I would like to make three observations for you this morning. The first observation is this, that there is a major contrast that needs to be considered. There is a major contrast that needs to be considered. What is this contrast? Well, in verses 18 through 24, in the verses that we looked at last week, there is a contrast between two groups of individuals. In chapter 18 through 21, we see the first group of individuals, and that is the nation of Israel. They were living under the old covenant, as the writer of Hebrews makes a reference to them found here. They were living under that old covenant system, yet they were justified before God on the basis of faith. They thought that at that time they could keep the law, but the Word of God shows us that they couldn't. The Word of God shows us that through the law, it shows that mankind is hopelessly lost. And we see the holiness of God Himself. Pastor Brad last week made a statement that was profound. He said, "We are the recipients of God's grace, not the source of God's grace." And as we look at that old covenant system, to that law shows us that we could never be the source of God's grace. But it points to the one true source, and that is Jesus Christ. That second group of individuals who is mentioned there is the church, verses 22 through 24. Those who are not living under the law, which is referred to as a ministry of death. But we are now living on this side of the cross, which is a ministry of peace because of what Christ has done. Paul writes to these believers in Ephesus, And he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Paul goes on in the same book to explain that both Jews and Gentiles in Ephesians. He goes on to say that both Jews and Gentiles are placed into the body of Christ, are placed into the membership of God's family through faith alone, by God's grace alone, in Christ alone. And we will see that all throughout this book of Hebrews, that we have got a privilege to be living on this side of the cross. And it ought to spur within us who are a part of the church, who are under this ministry of grace and peace, to be maturing in Him and to be growing. The second observation that I would like to make is this, that there is a race to be considered. For who? For us, the church. There is a race to be considered. Notice with me in verse 1. The writer of Hebrews says, run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ. He carries this illustration all the way through this chapter. In verse 12, he says, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. We see that he uses terminology that points back to this race. He's carrying this through. As we look at this warning passage, I believe the writer of Hebrews believed that this was important for us in running this race. We need to take heed this morning concerning this warning that we have here. And the third observation that I would like to make is that God is to be considered. God is to be considered this morning as well as we look into these verses. We need to remember how he's viewed in the Old Testament, the depiction of God as he has revealed himself to Israel is a fearful thing. We sang this morning, and I love that song, great is the Lord and holy is his name. And as we look to the nation of Israel, we see in Scripture that we have got an eyewitness account of individuals who saw the glory of the Lord. I was thinking about this. We have got actual eyewitness account of those who have seen the power of God displayed. And this is what they had to say about our God this morning, whom we have worshiped, whom we are worshiping today. This is what they say in Deuteronomy chapter 5, eyewitness account. The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. This great fire will consume us. They go on. They say, if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, then we will die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? That was their account after they saw the power of God revealed in the Old Testament, revealed under that old covenant. Today, as we approach this word, we need to remember two things. Number one, this is relevant for our lives. And number two, God is a living God. God is a living God. I don't want us to forget what it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. It says, for our God is a consuming fire. Not was a consuming fire, he is. The very God who is shown in the Old Testament is the same God today. So today what we have here is one command given to us in this passage in verses 25 through 29. We have one command and we've got two exhortations. The command that we see here is found in verses 25 through 27. And that is this, that we are to be a people who listen to his word. We ought to be a people who listen to the word of God. One thing that can be quite disappointing is when that perfect moment in life comes. You want to pull out your camera and you find yourself with just your cell phone and you go to take that picture and there's like a delay on it, so you don't get the actual picture that you wanted to take in the first place. When you take photography class, what you'll find out is that not only is it important that you have the right camera, to be able to take that picture at the right moment, but you've got to have a watchful eye open and waiting and ready to take that picture when it comes. I want to turn our attention to the first word that is mentioned in verse 25. The Hebrew writer uses the word here, see. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. That word see means to have a watchful eye that is open and waiting and ready to hear from the word of God. The word which testifies of Jesus Christ. We need to have this continual attitude of receiving the word of God. God speaks to us today not through prophets like he did in the Old Testament. He speaks to us through his completed word. God speaks to us through his completed word. Satan would have it, and the reality is this. He would have it that God's church would be loose on things concerning doctrine. Satan would have it this morning that his church would be loose on theology and on the authority of the scriptures. But D.L. Moody once stated, he said he never saw a fruit-bearing Christian who was not a student of the Bible. I want to turn our attention to the nation of Israel for a moment. They saw the greatness of God. They witnessed firsthand his glory and his majesty in the Old Testament. And before God Almighty, Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. We forget this about our God. That's what Moses said. I am full of fear and trembling. And history shows us their history, that they were not very impressive, to say the least. This was a nation who continually turned their back on God and on his word. J. Vernon McGee says this, Israel's past was not good. He didn't call them because they were an outstanding nation. They were not. I want us to keep our hands here in Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like you to turn with me to Deuteronomy for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 9. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, God is revealing information to a newer generation of Jews through his prophet Moses. And Moses is telling them in verse 3 that they are to take a land. Here, notice with me chapter 9, verse 3. Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and he will subdue them before you so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. Know with me what he says about this nation, verse 4. Do not say in your heart when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. It was not by their own righteousness. It was not by what they have done. It was by what God had done. Again in verse 5, it says, it is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess this land. And again in verse 6, he carries this thought through. It is not because of your own righteousness. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess. And note with me what he says about this nation right at the end of verse 6. For you are a stubborn people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you left that land of Egypt until you arrived at this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. This was a people who was rebellious towards the word of God. Why? I believe the answer is found here in verse 23, right at the end of the verse. You neither believed him nor listened to his voice. That was the nation of Israel. They saw his glory. They saw his power. And out of all the nations in the world who I would have thought would have revered God and his word, the nation of Israel continually turned away from his word. We saw quite the opposite. Two things struck me as I read that passage of chapter 9 in Deuteronomy. Number one, Moses spent a lot of time in his knees in prayer on behalf of the sins of Israel. And number two, God became angry and he did not take it lightly concerning the sin of Israel as well. Now let's fast forward to the book of Hebrews. We're going forward hundreds of years. Those Israelites were living under that old covenant system. Many times they had received the word of God. They had seasons of victory and they had seasons of disappointment. And we come to the book of Hebrews. God had sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be born of a virgin. Just think of this, our God being a consuming fire, and yet he sends his son to die for you and I today. That he would die on a cross and that he would raise again the third day from the dead and defeat the power of sin and death. And here we are in the book of Hebrews. And the Hebrew writer is saying, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him, the Israelites, who warned them on earth, that first category of individuals that we see in verses 18 through 21, who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven the church. That is for us today. That is a word for us. It is possible for a Christian, whether a Jew or a Gentile, living in this dispensation of grace, living on this side of the cross, to be somebody who has become callous towards God, who has become callous towards his word. It is very possible. And God wants us to know this morning. He wants you to know this morning and myself that we ought not to be a people who refuse his word. But that we are submitted to it. That is the warning that we have here in this dispensation of grace. The first exhortation that we see because of this grace is that we ought to show gratitude for this. In verse 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. An older man came into a post office with a postcard in his hand. He approached the postal employee behind the counter and he said, sir, could you please address this postcard for me? The employee gladly did so. The older man then asked the postal employee if he could write a short message on the postcard for him. The employee agreed to do so. Then the older man asked if he would sign it for him too. When he was finished, the postal employee asked, is there anything else I can do for you? The older man thought about it for a minute and then said, yes, at the end, could you just put P.S., please excuse the sloppy handwriting. This poor postal employee went out of his way to help this older man and did not even receive a thanks. It can be easy to go through life, I believe, not giving God the thanks that he deserves. We are living in this truly blessed time where we get to experience the grace of God. And it can be so easy to forget to thank him on our day-to-day basis, can't it? Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. David E. Thompson makes this point. He says, this verse, when compared to other verses about the future, pretty much proves a pre-tribulation rapture position, because we are heading to a kingdom that will not be shaken, which means we are not going into the tribulation. He continues on here. He says, during the tribulation, everything on earth will be shaken, but we are not destined for that. At that moment, Jesus Christ is going to come at any moment, and he is going to rapture up his church, and we are going to be with him in heaven in glory, while the rest of this earth is experiencing despair here. And when I think about that, when I think about our God and I think of our eternity and I think of the fact that our eternal dwelling is not here, it's in heaven, we ought to give him praise and thanks. He deserves our gratitude. He has done so much for us. And the second exhortation that we see here is that we ought to offer up before him acceptable service. Why? Because of who he is, because of what he has done for us, how he has blessed us. We ought to be a people who offer up acceptable service in view of who he is. Many people have an idea of what service is that is acceptable before God, but we see right here that acceptable service before God is worked out in view of who he is. We hear a lot of times that God is a loving God. He is. We hear a lot of times that He is a gracious God. Yes, He is. But let's not forget that Old Testament picture of Him as well. The nation of Israel, what was their response when they saw the glory of the Lord? They said, we're going to die. And what about the prophet Isaiah when he saw the holiness of God? When he stood before the throne of God, this was his response. Woe is me, for I am ruined. Let us not forget these things about God today. He is one who is to be revered. He is one to be honored. He is one to be respected. He is a powerful, gracious, loving God. He is a holy God as well. And in our society today, people will say, well, I've got the freedom to live however I want to. I want to tell you something. God is monitoring how we live out our lives today in the here and now. And how we live out our lives today will make an impact for eternity. God is watching that. So it is important that we offer up before Him an acceptable sacrifice. God has given us as people a purpose, a future, and a hope. And I want to tell you this morning that in this dispensation of grace, God has got a desire to use you and to grow you. How? By listening to His Word. By being somebody who soaks in, who takes in His Word. This morning we have seen this incredible passage. We have seen this warning that has been given. We see these two exhortations as well that the Hebrew writer gives to us. And I want to say this, that it is important today for us to run this race of faith. It is important for us to run this race. If we want to run this race and we want to run it well, we need to be open to the Word of God as people. I want to ask you today, I want you to analyze yourself over the past year, or maybe over the past 2 years. How would you say you have grown in your walk with Christ? Don't answer that question out loud, but think about that. How has your walk with Christ impacted you? Is there room for growth? Where do you see room for growth? I'll never forget a conversation that I had with the senior pastor in Arizona where Katie and I were ministering before we came here. I was sitting down with the senior pastor in Arizona, and we were talking about Bible college. Now, this was a man who's been in the ministry for a very, very, very long time. He was a missionary for a good deal of his life, and he had been a senior pastor of a church for quite a number of years. And concerning Bible college, he said, Wes, one of the times in my life where I grew the most spiritually in my walk with Christ was when I was in Bible college. I was thinking, that's interesting. Why is that? Because you're immersed in the Word. I want to tell you this morning, we have got a race to run, and it is so important that we are soaking up the Word of God, not just on Sunday morning, but all throughout the week. It is important for you and I, and it is something that we need. And as we go to the Scriptures, what we find is we find God Almighty, and we hopefully will become more and more like His Son. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for who You are. Father, we come before You this morning in recognition of Your power, in recognition of Your might, and also of Your grace. May we not be a people who live as though there is no authority above us, because there is. Father, for those who do not believe that, they will be surprised one day. Lord, we are grateful and thankful that You desire to use us in this dispensation of grace, and that You care about each one that is here this morning. We thank You for the eternal blessing and the eternal hope and future that we have in Your name through Your Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. Father, I would ask that if anyone here has walked in and, Lord, does not know where they will be spending eternity, they can have ultimate peace this morning in knowing where they will spend eternity with surety in their hearts because of what Christ has done for them. I would call them to trust You. Father, we give you the praise and the glory this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.